the church news, family news. I think that you know, if you're able to come to the members' meeting, church is not something that we are spectators for. We should be involved in the church, you know. I grew up in Zimbabwe and we used to go white water rafting on the Zambezi River. And has anyone ever done that? Well, then I could tell you anything about, I thought I could tell you anything about it and you believe me. But this is true. This is actually true. There's two ways that you can go white water rafting. And they're these big Zodiac boats. And the one way you can do it is you can have a professional who sits at the back and he's got two big oars and you get on, you put on your life jackets and you hold on to the side for dear life. And off you go. And he steers you through the process. And that's lots of fun, and I've done that. But even more fun is if you get in the boat and you're given an oar, and then you have a captain who's at the back who knows exactly what he's doing, and he tells you what to do, and you all get involved, and you row for your life. You know, you row for everything you're worth on your side of the boat. Now, I've done both of those. The one that you participate in is far more exciting. And church is not meant to be just run by professionals. Now, I know there's been a period of time where you have not had a minister. But that's not a bad thing. I think it's an opportunity for everyone in the church to find their fit, to find their place, to get their oar and be part of the wonderful adventure, and to learn and grow together. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that you have different speakers coming in from our church and other churches. That's wonderful. But coming along to something like the members' meeting is opportunities for you to see a need, to see an opportunity, to pick up your oar, and to get involved. Because that's what church is really all about. It really is, you know. I think also just to say, you know, I heard the announcement about Tatiana, who's a young woman who's now moving to Plymouth. And we had that experience also recently. We had, after COVID, our church was all 2 years older. And we had this young couple with us, Josh and Gina, who then got married. They were part of the church in their early 20s, lovely couple, and everyone else was a little bit older, and they then announced that they were going to move to Aberdeen in Scotland. And when we prayed for them, we sowed them to Aberdeen, expecting to reap. You know, the amazing thing is this, we've reaped two young couples who now are involved in the music and are very active in the church. And I think that what we need to understand, that sometimes we bid someone farewell or see you later. But in that process, let's be open-handed, let's bless them, and let's trust that God's going to bring others in to be part of the life of the church. And I think that's a good thing, it really is. Eh? So are you the kind of people who like a joke before the sermon? Well, let's give it a shot, okay. So there was this guy who lost his job. And he couldn't find work anywhere, so he decided to go to the local zoo. And the zookeeper said, well, we don't really have too many jobs available, but I'll tell you what, our gorilla recently passed away. So we need somebody to dress in a gorilla suit and get in the gorilla's cage and to entertain the crowd. So he said, I'll do that. He put on the gorilla suit and he went into the cage and he started to really get into the spirit of it. He started to dance and make all the gorilla movements, and people started to throw bananas towards him and nuts and peanuts, and he got quite excited about it. And in fact, he got so excited that he began to swing on the rope, and he swung backwards and forwards, and he swung so high that he left the gorilla's enclosure and he landed in the lion enclosure. And he thought, what's going to happen now? And the lion started to bound towards him. So he stopped and he started to shout, help, help, help. help, somebody get me out of here. And the lion pounced on him and said, shut up, or you're going to get us both fired. It's funnier than it sounds. It really is. Anyway, today I'd like to speak about living in God's peace. In Psalm 29, verse 11, we read, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And today I'd like to look at what the Bible says about peace. And I've got 5 points, and for alliteration, they're all going to start with the letter G. So the first thing we see in the Bible about peace is that peace is a gift. Jesus wants to give us peace as a gift. Listen to what he says in John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Now it's interesting, he says, my peace I give you. So peace is a gift. It's a gift that he wants us to receive. The world's peace is different from God's peace. The world's peace is dependent on external circumstances, on everything around us being okay. But God's peace is an eternal peace, regardless of external circumstances. It's when we know that we have peace on the inside, even in the midst of trouble and difficulty. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33. Now that's true, isn't it? In this world, you will have trouble. But then he continues, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now he starts that whole verse, John 16, verse 33, by saying, my peace I give you. I'm telling you these things so that you will have peace. And God wants us to live with his peace, knowing that he is actually in control. Recently, my wife Jill was doing a study on peace. And as part of her study, she looked at one of God's names. Now, names in the Bible reveal character, authority, and nature. And one of God's names is Jehovah Shalom, which means the God of peace, the God who gives us peace. And she'd been studying that. Now, we all know that studying something and experiencing something are two different things. And what happened is she was studying this, she was meditating on it. I mean by that, considering it, thinking about it, as the Bible says, meditating. And she went on a trip with my son to visit a friend who worked in a coffee shop in Biggleswade. And so they went into Biggleswade from St. Neots. And when she parked the car, she reversed the car. There was a wall, and she scraped the side of the car. And right there, she lost her peace. She was frustrated with herself. She was frustrated with the circumstance. And she came home, and I wasn't really upset about it. As long as she's okay, you know, that's all fine. But she was really not happy. And so she went for a walk, and on her walk, something amazing happened. She was walking along in the area in which we live, and there's a particular wall with a path that goes through, and where she came to that particular place, some steps and a wall with a sort of an entrance area, she came to that point, there were two boys on the other side with their bicycles. So she stopped to let them through. The first boy came up with his bike and said thank you and walked past. The second boy came up, picked up his bike and walked through, an English boy, and looked her right in the face and said, Shalom. And she knew that God was speaking to her right at that moment, saying that even though you've been through a frustrating experience, I am with you. I understand. I want you to have peace. And God wants us to live in that shalom, to live in that peace, to experience that peace with Him. We receive this peace through faith in Jesus Christ. In Romans 5, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We receive that peace through a relationship with God. And you can have that today. Number two, the second G is goal. Peace is something that we should seek and pursue. In Psalm 34, verse 14, the Bible says, "Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So peace is something that we should go after. We should pursue. How do we pursue God's peace? Well, by claiming God's promises in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble." And you know, when you take a hold of God's promises and you realize that those are promises that we can take to the bank, as it were. Now, I believe that faith is not a formula, and faith is not something that we have to conjure up. Faith comes out of a relationship. And when I know that my God cares for me and I take a hold of His promises for me, I have peace. I've experienced this so many times where troubles come my way. And what I do is I take a hold of a promise from the Bible and I begin to think about it. I write it down. I spend time musing over it. I meditate on it, which is a biblical term, not emptying your mind, but filling your mind with God's promises, ruminating on it. And as I've done that, what happens is my faith begins to grow, and I begin to experience the peace that God wants me to experience in that particular area. And then I start to see changes take place. That might be health, it might be provision, it might be guidance. But when we take a hold of a promise and we begin to meditate on it, think about it, muse over it, chew over it, it gives us peace. When I was 45, so that was 10 years ago, I was diagnosed with bowel cancer. And it wasn't part of my life plan. And it came as a shock to me and to my wife. We had four children at home, and what are we going to do now? So we both asked God to give us a promise that we can hold on to. Mine was Psalm 27, verse 13, which says, "I would have lost heart if I had not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Now that told me, you're going to live. It also told me that I can take a hold of His promise in that area. So what I did is I wrote that down and I began to think about it. I began to repeat it. And it's not mind over matter. No, it's taking a hold of God's promises and saying, I'm reaching out to what He's promised, and I'm building my life on that. You can't pull yourself up by your shoestrings. Have you ever tried that? You know? You get your shoestrings. It doesn't matter how much you pull. You're not going to go off the ground. You need something else to be able to hold on to and pull yourself up. And that is God's promises. His promises are yes and amen. And they are eternal. Heaven and earth will pass away. His promises, His word will not pass away. And as we pursue those promises, we have peace. And I got that peace. For Jill, my wife, the promise for her was Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future." And I honestly believe that if we will spend time in God's word asking Him to give us a promise that we can hold on to, He will give you a promise. So if you're concerned about something, if you have a particular challenge, pursue God's peace by taking a hold of His promises and build your thinking, your life around those promises. It makes a difference. So far we've seen peace is a gift. It should be a goal, something that we pursue. Number three, peace is something that should grow in our lives. Peace is one of the fruit of the Spirit. It's interesting. The Bible doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. And if we spend time with God, and His Holy Spirit begins to affect our lives by spending time in worship and prayer, He gives us those fruit. The fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, self-control, those different fruit, those nine fruit. Now, we get peace and it begins to grow in our lives when we surround ourselves and we spend time in God's presence. Now, I do this in two ways, very practically. You know, so often you hear people will stand up and tell you why you should do something, but they don't tell you how to do it. So I'll just tell you how I do it. If I am troubled and I'm going through a difficult season, I get worship music and I begin to listen to those songs. And as I listen to those songs, that peace just begins to grow in my life. And it changes the way I respond. Have you ever noticed that if you get in a car and you start listening to fast, heavy music, you tend to drive faster? Have you ever experienced that? Well, I'm the only crazy person like that, yeah? Well, in life, if we surround ourselves with worship, it's amazing how that just brings peace. Because worship is inviting God into situations in your life. Worship and prayer. Simply doing that. When I pray, I always say thank you before I say please. We teach our children to say please and thank you. With prayer, we should say thank you before we say please. You know? And if you just spend some time thanking God, every day you said, if you might struggle to pray out loud, well, write down your prayers. Get a journal, write it down. And as you begin to write down things that you're thankful for, You are reminding yourself of God's faithfulness and you're inviting Him into situations in your life, and His peace will begin to grow in your heart and in your mind. It really is a wonderful thing. Now, I've learned this. You can be in a busy place and you can put your headphones in, close your eyes, and enjoy God's peace flood over you. In times of worship, you don't even have to sing. I remember going to a conference in Crawley, actually, and it was a tiring week. And when I got back onto the tube and the train to come back home, I was standing in a busy tube carriage. You know what I did? I put my headphones in, I began to listen to worship music, and I closed my eyes. Everybody was still hustling and bustling around me, but they all disappeared. And I began to experience that peace like a river that begins to flow. Make sure your home is filled with joy and peace that comes through worship. Make sure when you get in your car and you begin to travel somewhere, you're listening to stuff that's edifying and encouraging and builds you up. Because that changes your perspective on life. Don't you think we live in such an angry world? You know, we really do. Let's be those who let peace grow in our hearts. And that fruit begins to grow. You know, a tree produces fruit so that it is healthy, but also for the benefit of others. And if that happens, it'll start to benefit others around us. Our son is back from university, and he started a job in, our youngest now, started a job in London. But while he's looking for a house in London, he's staying with us. And last night he went out, and he goes out with his mates, and then, you know, these kids, they come back later and later and later, you know. And so we leave a light on. He's a good boy. He really is a great kid, you know. But at about 1:30, the light was still on. Now, at one point, Jill, my wife, would really stress about that. However, is he okay? Not be able to sleep, toss and turn. She was sleeping peacefully because she said she just realizes that worrying about this is not going to change anything. But praying and trusting God and living in His peace is the way to go. Because she doesn't worry when he was in Leicester at university, but only would worry when he was at home. And I think the bottom line is this, it's inviting him into situations in our lives. And practically I do that by what I listen to and by praying about everything with thanksgiving. So important. Number four, peace should be a guard in our lives. G-U-A-R-D, a guard. The peace of God should guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." The preceding verse, verse 4 says, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And it's bringing those concerns to Him and thanking Him that He's faithful, that He's good, that we can trust Him, and just constantly bringing those concerns to Him. And that peace begins to guard our hearts and our minds. That's the way to live. It really is. The alternative is not so good. Number five. So far we've seen peace is a gift. It's a goal, something we should pursue. It's something that grows in our lives as we spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit through prayer and worship. It guards our hearts and our minds. It begins to help us. And instead of stressing, being anxious, we can pray and trust that He will give us His peace to guard our hearts and our minds. And then number five, my last point, is peace should be a guide in our lives. It should be a guide in our lives. Listen to this verse. You've probably heard it before, but perhaps a different perspective on it. Isaiah 55 verse 12 says, "For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace." You'll go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Peace is a signpost that we're going in the right direction. That's how God leads us. He uses His peace to show us we're going down the right path. If you travel somewhere, so those who are coming to the church weekend away, and I promised I'd say a few things about that, I'll do that just in a moment. But those who are coming to the weekend away, if you use the sat-nav postcode, it takes you to a place close to the venue, not to the venue. But when you get close to a place, sometimes you then start to look at the signposts that show you you're going down the right direction. I'm in the right area. This is where I should go. Now, as Christians, we have God's peace that is like a guide in our lives. If you are making a decision and you suddenly feel, I've lost my peace, or I'm feeling anxious about this. Now there's anxiety that needs to be overcome by God's peace, but then there's also an anxiety that you know this is not the right decision. And it's not just a woman's intuition. It's a leading of the Holy Spirit. He guides us with His peace. And His peace becomes a guiding post for us to show us the way that we should go. Or another verse that teaches us the same principle is Colossians 3 verse 15. And let me read it to you out of two versions. First of all, the English Standard Version says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts." Or another version, the Amplified Version says, "And let the peace of Christ rule, act as an umpire continually in your hearts." God wants His peace to act as an umpire. Does anyone here enjoy cricket? Okay. Yeah, there we go. We've got one person who enjoys cricket. Now, cricket... In cricket, they have an umpire, and they have two umpires, one on either side, and the umpire will decide whether somebody's in or out, essentially. But they now have, through the benefit of television, it probably also works for football and other sports, they have a third umpire. And the third umpire is someone who's not on the field, who's able to review the play from different angles and make a decision. Now, I got a revelation, an understanding of this verse going to a cricket match one day. And there was a call that whether the person was in or out, it wasn't very, very clear. So what they did is they referred to the third umpire, and they do this sort of thing. Have you seen them do this? They do that. They're saying they want the third umpire to make a decision. And there's times when we, from our perspective, can only see what we can see. And then we, through our prayer, we go to the third umpire. And we say, please lead us and guide us. Now that third umpire, maybe there's more than one person there, they review what happened from different camera angles, and then they say he's in or out. And if it's a red light that comes on, he's out. If it's a green light, he's in. You've probably seen a similar thing. God's peace is that green light in our lives. So if you're making a decision, if you're going down a particular path, and you just begin to feel like something just doesn't feel right, wait, pause, and say, Lord, lead me by your Holy Spirit with your peace. That I know on the inside, as an old nun once said, I know in my knower, on the inside, I know this is the right thing to do. And he gives you his peace, and it becomes a guide in our lives. Psalm 29 verse 11 says, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And it's something that God wants us to walk in. It's not a concept that we just need to understand, but a reality that we need to experience in our everyday lives, walking in his peace. Now, we are going to take communion together in a moment. And when we take the elements, the bread and the wine, they represent what Jesus accomplished on the cross, that he made his peace available. Peace with him, that we can have peace with God, and we can experience the peace of God. There's two sides to the cross. There's the upright, the vertical, and the horizontal. And God's will for us, made available through Jesus Christ, is that he restores a relationship with God, the upright, the vertical relationship. But he also wants to restore peace this way too. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, you and I, as Gentile believers, are able to be grafted into God's promises and experience all that he has. Because of what he accomplished on the cross, people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue can come and experience the peace and the joy that can only be found in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're going to sing another song in a moment, then we'll have communion, and then we will close the service. But let me say this about the weekend away. So there are around 75 people coming, representing three different churches, River Church, Sandy Baptist Church, and people from New Wine Church in Martham in Norfolk. And it's going to be an exciting time. These are churches that we have invited to join us on this occasion. We can't really take many more people than that, but it looks like we've got one room available. So if you perhaps are saying, well, I think, you know, last minute I'd like to come along, then there's still time as of right now. But that might not be available in 2 or 3 days' time, you know. But if somebody wanted to come, then you are still able to join us, and that's going to be a wonderful time of worship, as Phil said, of some good Bible teaching, But lots of fun and opportunity to build friendship, to just enjoy ourselves together. There'll be a bonfire with marshmallows for us to roast. There will be games. There's a quiz, board games. We've got a young guy in our church who's like a board game enthusiast, and he's going to teach us all sorts of fun board games that he's got available. So there's something for everyone, for the active and the less active, and it'll be great fun. Wonderful. So as we just reflect on what we've heard today, we're going to sing one more song, and I invite you to stand with us, and we're going to sing What a Beautiful Name.